Jane Morris is a well, we know that you are a passionate Remainer, Jane, but this is a portrayal, is it not, of the UK-wide referendum which asked people if they wanted to leave and they said yes.
I certainly do not see it as a betrayal at all. It's a compromise. It's a concession from the European Union to give the whole of the UK an opportunity to stay in the customs union for a period, and then for the backstop to come in. So it's a lifeline for Northern Ireland, and that has got to be seen that way. We've got to stop listening to those arch Brexiteers who are saying that this is punishment. It is not. The European Union has been good to Northern Ireland ever since we joined, and it's keeping on being good. And the DUP talking about the deep end of the pool or stormy seas, this is the lifeline that we've got to grasp with both hands, because it gives Northern Ireland access to the single market as well as the UK market. And it is something Scotland wants. I mean, Scotland has said, give it to us, please. So if Scotland wants it, how can it be that bad?
Robin Swan, the leader of the Oisínios Party. Stay there, Jane. Morning to you, Robin.
Morning, Stephen.
Is this really going to threaten the UK? Is this really going to threaten Northern Ireland's place in the UK?
It does, Stephen, because it threatens our part of the UK as an integral part, as a part that is the same, because of the differential in regulations and protocols that are being brought in. You've concentrated this morning very much, you know, on trade and regulations. There's one point that hasn't been raised yet, and that's the establishment of a joint committee to deliver and manage this protocol. Now, that's a European committee, an EU-based committee that will oversee how Northern Ireland manages these rules and protocols. So we get one step further removed from democratic accountability in Northern Ireland. Not that we have much of it at the minute, but at this moment in time, that protocol would actually hand that over to a committee in Brussels.
And yet the opportunity, Scotland is crying out for this, are they not? The opportunity that Northern Ireland could have to be a gateway into both GB and the EU without all of the regulation that others might have to do, a simple model that will be very attractive to businesses all around the EU to set up shop in Northern Ireland, Robin.
Stephen, it's not the simple model that it sounds of. You know, when you look at the regulations in regards to companies that want to produce in Northern Ireland and sell into GB, we'll have a different set of regulations that won't be selling to the entirety of the EU. And the other point that hasn't actually been talked about or spoken about yet this morning is actually in VAT. While in Northern Ireland, UK VAT rates will apply, will be administered by EU VAT rules. Now, how that works on a practical basis, I don't know. When I was speaking to representatives across the water last night in the government in number 10, they haven't the clear detail as to how that would work out yet either. So there's a lot of detail in this that actually I think makes it more complicated.
I noticed,
for Northern Ireland business.
I noticed the statement that your party released, and the second paragraph you get stuck into the DUP and you're calling on them to issue an apology. Is this not a time, if the union is under threat, for unionist parties to unite rather than you sticking the boot in?
Stephen, we're on the same page in a lot of this, but, you know, we've been told, Northern Ireland has been told, Westminster has been told about the influence that was going to be brought to bear by the DUP, that we would never get to a position that we are actually now in. And if it hadn't been for what was agreed, you know, back in December last year, which actually put in the foundations for this backstop structure, which at that time was supported by David Davis, Boris Johnson and the DUP, we wouldn't have got to this position. So we've been continually reassured or told in Northern Ireland, you know, don't worry, we've got this, the DUP, and more votes, more influence, more protocols. But, you know, looking at them last night, it was almost as if they'd been completely blindsided by what was coming down the track here. And that's not the influence that we were being led to believe they had. So,
Jim Morris?
I'm very disappointed at the Ulster Unionist Party's position on this, and Robin Swan in particular, just after this. Why, everyone, all the other parties in Northern Ireland are embracing this. But and the Ulster Unionist role, I think, is very pivotal in not turning it into a green and orange issue, into recognising the advantages for business and for citizens in Northern Ireland. And I'm disappointed that the Ulster Unionists don't see this as the opportunity it actually is. And if the Ulster Unionists, and for example, for farmers, for fishermen, for businesses and for people, that this is something that the Ulster Unionists, at the very least, should be recognising is valuable. Now, here's a very important thing that Theresa May has said. If we don't get this, we get no Brexit at all. Well, that's hallelujah. I mean, no Brexit at all is the answer for Northern Ireland because we voted to remain.
You're completely wrong there. But when Theresa May is talking about you get no Brexit, what she actually refers to is you get no deal. And if we go out that's a very dangerous position for Northern Ireland. When I actually listened to Sammy Walson last night talking about no deal and how he thought it was, you know, a better step, he went on to say then in no deal scenario, we would go into a series of small deals with the EU. Now, anybody that's, you know, in the slightest bit clued on about negotiation knows that every time you go back to a table for a negotiation at a different point, you have to give a little bit more and a little bit more.
So going back into a
series of no deals is a dangerous place to go.
Let's change the narrative and recognise what Theresa May has said herself, that no deal could mean no Brexit. And that's the best position we could be in. Now, nobody understands what a no deal is. What Sammy Wilson is saying is, I don't know, pulling things out of the air on this. Nobody knows how fallbacks on WTO rules would work, etc. But if it means no Brexit, then that's the best.
But Article 50 has already been triggered, so we're already...
No, we could put it on ice. It could be put on ice. And that's something that's being also pushed for.
That's not going through Westminster. And at this point in time, I don't see this deal going through Westminster because of the threat that it has. You know, when you have people like Sally Farah, a junior Northern Ireland minister who was actually out doing good work on the ground in Northern Ireland in that role, and a Remainer who actually has concerns about the constitutional position that this puts Northern Ireland into. I think it says a lot about the people who have thought seriously about
that. Robert Swan, can I ask this question, please? You're the leader of the Ulster Unionist Party. You're saying that this deal threatens Northern Ireland's place in the UK. It has the potential to do that. Would you rather there be another vote, some people call it another referendum, so that Brexit could be cancelled rather than a deal like this go through?
Stephen, I don't think a second vote would actually change the mindset of the UK because of the way the EU has actually treated the United Kingdom at this moment in time. I think the vote would actually be the same. I don't support another vote. No.
So you would rather a deal like this go through rather... Brexit happens in a way like this rather than another vote?
Stephen, I don't see this Brexit deal going through Westminster at this point in time either. You know, so it's about trying to get to a position that we can get something that actually works. You know, with Sally Farah resigned, with Dominic Raab, the second EU secretary, to actually resign, the man who was behind this negotiation or should have ownership of it doesn't believe it's the right deal. So I don't see where the UK goes at this point in time to the EU with another stage of negotiation.
Right.
Because the EU seems to be digging in the position that they're not allowing the UK any latitude in this at all.
Robert Swan, thank you. Jim Morris, maybe you can stay there. Michael in Newton Abbey. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Michael.
Stephen, I think there's obviously at this minute in time when you look at it now, Dominic Raab, this is just the start of basically the fireworks going off in the House of Commons. But my point's a more simple one. Where is the incentive now for the EU and Ireland in specific to actually come to a trade agreement whereby Brexit would not, whereby the backstop would not kick in? They've got everything they want. They can stall the trade agreements because it's the whole 27, the other 27 countries that have to agree to it. And it just takes one of them to not agree to it, and that means that the backstop kicks in.
Yeah.
So where's the incentive then?
mean, well, the backstop, don't forget, only comes into effect if they can't get this trade agreement, if they can't agree.
Yes, if they can't. And there's my point. The Irish government have got everything they want within this. They've got the whole thing in regarding to the movement of peoples, the movement of goods, etc. They've got, whether people will agree to it or not, the kick in of the border along the Irish Sea, down the middle of the Irish Sea. So, if, and again, that based upon the backstop, so why would the Irish government want to do a try and work out a trade that would not be...
How did the unionist parties who advocated Brexit not see this coming?
Who says they didn't see it?
Well, if they did see it coming, well, here's who says, Michael, they didn't see it coming. If they did see it coming, did they really advocate something which now, in their own words, threatens the United Kingdom and Northern Ireland's place in it?
Everybody has seen what was in.
Goods in Northern Ireland, which you can't call UK anymore if this proposal goes through.
Stephen, you can't call it UK goods. Stephen, listen. I have absolutely no doubt that Theresa May has been listening to her, not only herself being a Remainer, but she's been taking advice of other Remainers. She has been listening and cajoled to advice being taken by European people, by people who have done everything to absolutely hinder...
All right, Michael, thank you. Let me bring in George. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen. Just one of the points that you made, Scotland's crying out for this type of deal. It's actually the SNP and the exact scenario that this deal will bring. You know, it's separating. It would be separating Scotland from the rest of the UK, and that's an SNP thing. I think you'll find Ruth Davison and others in Scotland don't want that. They'll lead the Conservatives up there. But I'm calling the whole integrity of Theresa May into question here, because what happened to the Theresa May stood in a platform weeks ago and told us that no deal was better than a bad deal, and also told us, give us assurances there'd be no border in the Irish Sea and no difference whatsoever at all than here in any other part of the UK. That was assurances.
George, you're from the Shankill. Do you think your United Kingdom and Northern Ireland's place in it is threatened by this?
Absolutely, Stephen.
Do you really?
It does separate. You know, you're a separate entity. You're a different. You're a different state. And as it
we're
goes
never,
on,
we've already got separate checks with livestock. We've discussed that on the program many, many times. That does not mean that the United Kingdom was under threat. We've been through all of this malarkey of how, you know, parties, the biggest unionist party, the DUP, say we will not have the same rules on gay marriage as the rest of the UK. That doesn't threaten the UK in their view. We will not have the same rules on abortion as the rest of the UK. Doesn't threaten the UK in their view. So if we have different regulations, or if we can't call stuff UK goods, then how does that threaten it anymore?
Let me answer that with a question within a question, Stephen. You have a team meeting there in the morning, and you sit around the table to discuss what the programme's going to be about and what the subjects are going to be.
Wouldn't go that
far. And all of a sudden, you get a letter around from Frank Mitchell telling you, no, that's what you have to do. It's the same thing. So it is, you have no control over what you're going to do. You know, as it goes on and on and on, Brussels will make the laws. We have no representation whatsoever in the European Parliament, yet they're going to be telling us what to do and what laughs. And what, you know, it's laughable, the bendy banana scenario, and all will come in. You've no control whatsoever. As I say, Frank Mitchell standing around in the mornings, a wee note to tell you what you can and can't do. It's the same thing. You know, that's it in layman terms. You have no control over your programming.
Jean Morris?
Yes. Well, to compare Frank Mitchell to Michel Barnier is a very, very unusual approach. Hmm. But to say that this is a letter coming in saying what you must do and what do. We've been in the European Union for 40 years.
We've had representation, but well, not now.
Well, maybe we should have representation, because that's a...
No, we're voted to leave. We're going out. What
no,
part of
hold on, listen.
Stephen,
hold on, let's let Jane speak. Hold on, George. No, let's let Jane speak.
George, I'm talking about Northern Ireland. I'm talking about Northern Ireland, the principle of consent in the Good Friday Agreement. We stay in the UK, and also Northern Ireland voted to remain in the European Union. So, and also, by the way, I know the argument that, oh, well, London would want it or others would want it, but we have dual citizenship. We have the right to be Europeans if we want to be, and I insist that that's our birthright. So we have the right to be represented. We have the right to freedom of movement throughout the European Union and to retire where we want and to live and work.
But, Jan, it is true. Rights. If this deal went through, and let's stress that this is a proposal and there are many people saying it ain't going to get through Parliament. There are some people saying Theresa May isn't going to survive this. Let's see. But if this deal did get through, Jane, it is a statement of fact, isn't it, that the regulations that Northern Ireland has to abide by would not be created and authorised by the British government if the backstop kicks in. Those regulations would be created by Brussels. Isn't that right?
I'm not sure of that because I haven't read it in detail, but I heard Robin Swan saying that this committee that is set up to oversee it has no input. But why don't we have a Northern Ireland input into this committee? What's stopping him lobbying for that? Lobbying for our voice to be heard. But we need to be united so our voice.
Because we need to be compliant with EU regulations. You know that if we need to be compliant with EU regulations, Jane, and the rest of the UK does not, you know that those regulations are created by the EU and not the British government.
But wait a minute.
So Northern Ireland's being dictated to by Brussels and not London?
No, not dictated to by Brussels. No, I do believe that Northern Ireland both is entitled to and could get a say. You know that I've...
We might be consulted, but the ultimate say would be in Brussels.
Wait a minute. And in Brussels, we can still go to Brussels. We can still be in Brussels. We can still be represented in Brussels. Why not? You know, I've got a petition with 6,000 signatures saying for Northern Ireland to stay in the UK and the EU. You know, why can we not fight for our place? And that's what our parties, many of our parties are doing, but not enough of them. And we can still do that, and we still have time. Northern Ireland's the biggest issue on the European Union negotiating table at the moment. That's the moment we've got the chance to take advantage of it. And it isn't our getting our cake and eat it. It's our bread and butter, and we deserve it after what we've been through.